Is the word goodness one of the words that others use when speaking of you? In our current series, we're examining the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. There are 9 attributes that identify a believer controlled by the Holy Spirit, and goodness is one of the 9. Join us for our study today as we explore the idea of goodness.
Thank you for joining us for today's broadcast of Wisdom from the Word with Dr. Troy S. Welch, pastor, teacher, author, and educator. Isaiah 33:6 says, "Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times." Helping us to develop both knowledge and wisdom, here is Dr. Welch with today's study.
Our series text is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Throughout our study in this series, we've emphasized that while the word fruit is singular, there are 9 attributes that are identified here in Galatians that comprise the fruit of the Spirit. These 9 attributes are identified by 9 feminine nouns in the Greek text. They are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The feminine gender is used in the Koine Greek to identify a response. The use of the feminine noun indicates that these attributes are the response to our being controlled by the Holy Spirit. We've examined in our study thus far the attributes of love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, along with gentleness. We saw that the word love is translated from the Greek word agape, a self-sacrificial love that manifests itself in giving and continues to love regardless of the response. The word joy was translated from the Greek word chara and refers to the condition of inner happiness that is accompanied by a sense of completeness and fulfillment, which causes us to be complete and entire, wanting nothing, as per James chapter 1, verse 4. Peace is from the word eirene. It refers to an inner stability accompanied by tranquility that results in our having harmonized relationships. We studied the attribute of long-suffering, and the word long-suffering is translated from the Greek word makrothumia. It literally means long-tempered. In our study of this word, we recognize the provision that God has made, for it encompasses the idea of forbearance, and not only of forbearance, but that of being at peace and having patience in the midst of it. It's that quality that does not surrender to circumstance or succumb to the situations that we find ourselves involved in under stress. Then we examined the word gentleness. We discovered that the word gentleness was translated from the Greek word charistates, which is used to identify a gracious disposition and attitude. It's a feminine noun based on the root of charis, the Greek word for grace. So it's treating others in grace. The word used implies a gracious disposition and attitude that expresses itself as that which is virtuous, mild, pleasant, kind, and serviceable in both quality and action. Our investigation into this word saw that it is translated in a variety of ways in the New Testament. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness are all attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. So when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, we maintain a self-sacrificial love that manifests itself in giving and continues to love regardless of the response. We have inner happiness that is accompanied by a sense of completeness and fulfillment, which causes us to be complete and entire, wanting nothing. We have an inner stability accompanied by tranquility that results in our having harmonized relationships with others, and we become long-tempered, patiently holding back any form of vengeance, punishment, or retaliation, exercising self-restraint in the face of provocation. We do not surrender to our circumstances, nor do we succumb to stress, and we manifest a gracious disposition and attitude that is marked by that which is virtuous, mild, pleasant, kind, and serviceable in both quality and action. But there are four other attributes which are produced by the Holy Spirit: goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. In our study today, we'll examine that attribute of goodness. The word goodness is translated from the Greek word agathosune, and it identifies that which is good in character and beneficial in its effect, emphasizing a moral quality. The distinction between gentleness, charistates, and goodness, agathosune, needs to be noted. Gentleness is that gracious disposition and attitude. We emphasize the word stresses a kindness in dealing with others, where goodness identifies that which is good in character and beneficial in its effect. It emphasizes that which is moral and beneficial, but does not always deal kindly. Gentleness stresses kindness, but goodness does not always deal kindly. If the situation demands tough love, then this attribute of goodness responds to the occasion and is not toned down or watered down out of a sense of compassion, which sacrifices that which is good for that which is pleasant. And so we need to see how they go hand in hand, charistates and agathosune, goodness opposed to gentleness. Goodness is used as both a noun and an adjective in the Greek New Testament. Let's look at some of its usage. The usages of the word as a noun we'll examine first. This noun in Galatians 5:22, where it is listed as an attribute of the fruit of the Spirit, is agathosune, the noun. We've already noted that it is feminine, which means that it is a response, and it is a response to our being controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's used in a number of different passages of Scripture. Romans chapter 15, verse 14 says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." See how this word goodness, that tough love, gives us an ability then to admonish one another. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Once again, the word goodness, good in character and beneficial in its effect. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, it is that goodness of God, that attitude, good in character and beneficial in effect. When the word is used as an adjective, we find it also in the New Testament. And it identifies some things that Christians are to do. First of all, we'll note that we are to test and to approve that which is good concerning the will of God. We find that in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So the good will of God is that which is good in character and beneficial in its effect. We next note that we are to cleave to that which is good. Romans 12:9, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good." We are to cleave to that which is good in character and beneficial in its effect. Next, we note that we are to do that which is good. Romans chapter 13, verse 3 says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil." Those that have been assigned as rulers of government and in authority in various levels of society are not to be a terror to those that do good works, but rather to the evil. For those that do that which is good in character and beneficial in its effect. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 adds, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Paul, in addressing the Galatian believers, then identifies the fact that we are to do good, that which is good in character and beneficial in effect, to all men, especially to other believers, that is, those who are of the household of faith. Peter also responds in his first epistle in the third chapter, verse 11. He says, "Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Once again, the admonition to do good as a born-again child of God, to do that which is good in character and beneficial in its effect, that which will not tone down the rhetoric or will water down the theology, but will be tough along the standard of goodness, no matter what the circumstance. But John also adds his voice in John chapter 5, verse 29, and he records for us the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, "And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Yes, the reference here concerning salvation is to those that have done good. Now, the Greek text adds the word "the" before the word "good." Those that have done the good, and it's singular. That one thing that is good in character and beneficial in its effect. And that, of course, is faith in Jesus Christ, calling upon the name of the Lord for salvation. We are to do that which is good. We are also noted in Scripture with this word that we are to work good. In Romans, again, chapter 2, verse 10 this time, "But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile." Paul tells the Roman believers, glory and honor and peace to everyone that works that which is good in character and beneficial in its effect. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, Paul writes again, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." In this admonition, Paul is instructing in the way of applicational theology. The one that has previously stolen is to steal no more, but rather he is to labor, working with his hands. And the thing which he is to work is that which is good. Once again, the word that we have in Galatians concerning an attribute of the fruit of the Spirit, that which is good in character and beneficial in its effect, morally beneficial, does not always deal kindly. If the situation demands tough love, then this attribute of goodness responds to the occasion and is not watered down, that we may work with our hands that which is good. Paul again in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8 continues, "Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." Knowing, Paul says, that whatsoever good thing, again, the word that we have in our text, agathosune, referring to that which is good in character and beneficial in its effect. We are to do that, and we are to receive that of the Lord, no matter whether we be bond or whether we be free. Next, we would note that we are to follow after good. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Paul tells the Thessalonican believers that every man is to follow after that which is good. We are to be in pursuit of that which is good in character and beneficial in its effect, that which is morally beneficial, that which is not always gentle, but is always focused on that which is good. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, "Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" So the question is raised by Peter as he talks about our role as believers living alongside those that are unbelievers to model the kingdom of God's character in our own character, that there is not going to be any harm so long as we be followers of that which is good, of that which is good in character, beneficial in its effect, carries with it a moral responsibility, and responds to the occasion not with a watered-down response, but always focusing upon that which is good. In the epistle of 3 John, verse 11, the apostle adds, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Let me call attention again to the single statement with a definite article. He said, "But don't follow that which is evil, but that which is good." That's our word. "He that doeth the good," singular, "is of God, but he that doeth the evil," singular, "hath not seen God." There's only one good, and there is only one evil. In the context, he is emphasizing that which is good is the acceptance of Jesus Christ and salvation. That which is evil is the rejection of the very plan of God that caused Jesus Christ to become the sacrifice for the sins of the world. We are not to follow that which is evil, but we are to follow that which is good. For the one that does the good then is of God, that is, generates from the source of God. But he that doeth the evil hath not seen God. That means to see with understanding. So in these passages, in 1 Thessalonians and 1 Peter and 3 John, we are instructed to follow after that which is good in quality and beneficial in its effect. Let me remind you again that to follow that which is good, we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. And then we notice in the use of this word in the New Testament that we are to use good to overcome evil. We find that in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." The way to overcome evil is to allow the Holy Spirit to control our life and produce in us his fruit that is marked by the attribute of goodness in moral character and benefit to those that are affected by it. Even though the Bible says there is none good, no, not one, when others speak of us, the word goodness should be one of the words they use in describing us. And this becomes a possibility for the believer through the enablement of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit has control of our lives, the fruit of the Spirit is manifest. And as we have seen thus far in our study, the word love is translated from the Greek word agape, a self-sacrificial love that manifests itself in giving and continues to love regardless of the response. The word joy is translated from the Greek word chara, refers to that condition of inner happiness that is accompanied by a sense of completeness and fulfillment which causes us to be complete and entire, wanting nothing. Peace is the translation of the word eirene, referring to an inner stability accompanied by tranquility, resulting in harmonized relationships. The word long-suffering is translated from the Greek word makrothumia, and it means long-tempered. It encompasses the idea of forbearance and patience, and emphasizes the concept of patiently holding back any form of vengeance, punishment, or retaliation. It's self-restraint in the face of provocation or trying circumstances. It's that quality, in other words, that will not surrender to one's circumstance or succumb under stress. And we've studied the word gentleness from the word charistates, which is used to identify a gracious disposition and attitude. It's in that feminine form to identify a response. The root of the word charis, the root of the word for grace, is gentleness. We will not be gentle beyond our comprehension and application of the doctrine of grace. And today we have seen this word, goodness, agathosune. It is referring to that which is good in character and beneficial in its effect. It is moral and manifests itself in tough love, not allowing one's compassion or empathy to interfere with that which is good. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness are all attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. So when we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, we maintain a self-sacrificial love that manifests itself in giving and continues to love regardless of the response. We have an inner happiness that is accompanied by a sense of completeness and fulfillment, which causes us to be complete and entire, wanting nothing. We have an inner stability that is accompanied by tranquility that results in our having harmonized relationships with others. We become long-tempered, patiently holding back any form of vengeance, punishment, or retaliation, exercising self-restraint in the face of provocation. We refuse to surrender to our circumstance or fall to stress. We maintain a gracious disposition and attitude that is marked by that which is described as virtuous, mild, pleasant, kind, and serviceable in quality and action. And we manifest that which is good in quality and beneficial in its effect. In order to have these attributes produced in our lives, we must be under the control of the Holy Spirit. The control of the Holy Spirit is dependent upon the confession of sin. Since it is sin that takes us out of fellowship with God, it follows that it is the confession of sin that restores our fellowship to God. Unconfessed sin results in the believer being identified as carnal under the control and direction of the old sin nature. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In our previous study, we have observed that it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just in order to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our confession of sin is a memorial to the faithfulness and the justice of God. And that word just, as we find it in the Greek text, means righteous. Confession of sin results in the Holy Spirit having control of your life. And when He controls your life, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and yes, faith, meekness, and self-control yet to be studied are produced in our lives. Join us next time as we examine the attribute of faith and discover that the word is not faith, but faithfulness. Plan to be on board with us for that study. Till then, may God richly bless you in your pursuit of a greater knowledge of His Word.
Wisdom from the Word is a ministry of Nyland Community Church at 3326 Nyland Avenue in Oxnard, California, located off the north side of Highway 101 between Rice, Santa Clara, and the Del Norte exits. Sunday school is offered for all ages from 9:15 to 10:15 on Sunday mornings, with Sunday morning worship beginning at 10:30. Sunday evening service begins at 6, and Wednesday evening Bible study is at 6:30. You can receive a free tape and transcript of this broadcast by writing to Wisdom from the Word, Nyland Community Church, 3326 Nyland Avenue, Oxnard, California, 93036, or by calling 805-485-1817. If you're looking for a church home, or you would like to be part of a ministry that provides in-depth teaching of God's Word, why not visit this week?